Welcome to the Dopamine Pursuit Podcast, a podcast for ambitious people in the pursuit to hit new and extraordinary levels in life. A space where we learn to break our negative addictions and our negative patterns and pursue healthier habits and healthy doses of dopamine while living a more purposeful life. We are here to uncover practical strategies, inspiring stories, and expert insights that will empower you to pursue your dreams and make them a reality. We are talking all things from business, leadership, marketing, relationships, investments, and health. So you'll want to grab your coffee and get comfortable as we push ourselves to grow by being uncomfortable. This is the Dopamine Pursuit Podcast. Real quick, before we dive into today's show, there's one super simple way that you can help support our show, and it is by hitting the follow button at the top of the podcast page. This helps us in more ways than I can begin to explain, and it allows me to show up with you week after week and do what we do. Thank you so much for supporting us, and I hope you enjoy today's episode. Hello, hello, my friends. Today, I want to talk to you about healthy choices, healthy goals, and creating reward systems and mindset shifts to sustain these goals. I'm going to preface this with, I am not a fitness expert or a health guru, not by a long shot, and I won't be getting granular in tips for health and fitness. I will more so be speaking to you from personal experience and about our mindset and systems when pursuing a healthier lifestyle. Time is flying and summer is quickly approaching, and I've been seeing more and more people lately on my newsfeed talking about how we need to get it together and get fit for our summer bodies. But it was only 3 months ago when everyone had New Year's resolutions that they were going to be healthier. And now, of course, a lot of these goals have fallen off by now. So I want to talk today about creating awareness and healthier mindsets when it comes to setting and fulfilling these goals. I looked it up and I found a study from the University of Scranton that found that only 8% of people successfully complete their New Year's resolutions. That tells me we have a lot of room for improvement with our mindsets when setting these goals and creating sustainable systems. So you are not just going for these goals for a season, but you're going for them for a reason. So if you've ever had a season where you've had a vacation coming up or an event and wanted to suddenly hit the gym and get fit fast so you could look amazing in that dress or great on the beach for that family vacay, then this episode is for you. It all begins, just like everything, with our exposure and our mindsets. So I want to start with what seems to be the overall American mindset. In America especially, it's almost a part of our culture to be unhealthy, go on a quick fad diet, and then lose weight for an event only to yo-yo back right where we started in the first place. But if you walk around Europe, people don't really look like us. You don't really see people in the obese category as often because everyone is moving around. Everyone is walking to where they need to go. And there's so much more walking activity from what I can tell in almost every country that I've been to. The food is cleaner. The portions are smaller. We aren't over consuming in other countries. And they aren't poisoning the foods like we are and cutting corners. It's so crazy to me how different food tastes in other countries. I was in Israel a few years ago and it was unreal to me how incredible their ketchup tasted. I know that's really random and I'm not even that big of a ketchup girl, but I had fries and they had these little ketchup packets, and I must have had 20 ketchup packets in front of me that I was just dousing these fries in because it tasted so sweet, so good. And it's because they aren't cutting corners. It tasted so much better. The ingredients were better. And you would think with 20 packs of ketchup, I would have gained some weight on that trip. I actually lost weight on that trip. Whereas if you come to America, we have restaurants and examples in Las Vegas where there's literally a scale outside of the door. If you weigh 350 or more, you get to eat for free. The place I'm referring to is called Heart Attack Grill. And in what world is this okay? We are encouraging people to be unhealthy. You can walk by that and be like, haha, that's funny. Let's take a picture with it. It's not really that funny. People profit off of other people being sick, and it's an ugly part of the world, but it's even uglier to not have an awareness to this. And it's up to us. It's up to you to educate ourselves on health, and the education is available. It is out there, but you have to sacrifice time that you might be listening to your favorite music channel or random TV show to listen to the education that is going to make you live longer and feel better. Remember the line, if it isn't moving you closer to your goals, don't do it. Don't listen to it. Continue to fill your mind with things that are going to educate us and make us better. Or we can choose the entertainment, follow the herd, not spend time educating ourselves, and we could potentially end up sick, which we don't want that. So this episode today is all about education that I wish I had a lot sooner. But it's no secret that the prevalence of obesity in the United States has been a growing concern for public health, and it isn't difficult to find yourself in the obese category with the amount of processed foods that fill our grocery stores or the sugars that are in our venti vanilla lattes. And I'm sorry to ruin this for anyone, but it's quite disgusting when you actually look into it. In one large vanilla latte from Dunkin' Donuts and or Starbucks, you are looking at around 64 grams of sugar. Actually, today, when I was in my coffee shop, I get sugar-free vanilla when I get my lattes. And my barista, she literally stopped me and said, "We're almost out of the sugar-free, but you're the only one that ever orders it." And that made me really sad, because the reason for that is because people aren't aware. I asked to see the regular vanilla canister, asked her if I could look at the ingredients on it. 25 grams of sugar, 25 carbs. I asked to look at the sugar-free, obviously 0 grams of sugar, 0 everything, 5 carbs. But people choose the regular vanilla over the sugar-free vanilla, even though they taste very, very similar, because of lack of education. Sugar can also sneak up to you disguised by healthy products. And before I give this example, I do want to say I am a Kardashian stan. I think that the Kardashians are absolutely brilliant when it comes to business and marketing. They have so many brands underneath them, but the oldest sister, she has a brand called Lemmy. And if you aren't familiar, it is a supplement brand that they describe as delicious gummies. I've tried them. They are good. They are for all different types of things, prenatal vitamins, there's women's healthy bloating, there's even glucose support. I believe she has 12 different supplements out, and each supplement recommends a dose of 2 gummies per day, which equal out, if you look at the ingredients, to 1 to 2 grams of sugar per gummy. And you might be thinking to yourself, oh, that doesn't sound so bad. But if you were to take all 12 of her products in a given day, you are looking at 24 grams of sugar before even beginning your day. And if you are like most Americans, myself included, only a few short years ago, and don't understand how devastating this can be to your body, keep listening, because I believe one of our biggest issues as a society is lack of clear, simplified information. Our educational system does not dive deep into this in our health classes for the most part. Not only that, it takes the average human to hear information 7 times before processing information for what it means and implementing changes into their life. So let's dive in. What does 64 grams of sugar do to a human, and why is it important to know? I looked it up, and the American Heart Association, AHA, suggests that women should have no more than 25 grams of added sugar in a day, and men should consume no more than 37.5 grams of added sugars in a day. When you are increasing your sugar consumption, doubling or almost tripling in just one drink, not to mention whatever else you're having in the day that has bad sugars in it, you are also increasing your likelihood of insulin resistance and the risk of type 2 diabetes. There's quite a bit of data that there is a significant percentage of both men and women that have some sort of insulin resistance, or are at risk for it and are completely unaware of what insulin resistance even is. So I want to break this down in a simplified explanation. When you eat foods with carbohydrates like sugar, they turn into glucose sugar in your bloodstream. To control rising blood sugar, your pancreas releases a hormone called insulin. Insulin's job is to help your cells take in glucose for energy and storage. Consuming too many sugary foods and drinks, especially those that raise our blood sugar quickly, can lead to spikes in your blood sugar, and then this strains your pancreas as it has to make extra insulin to manage the high blood sugar. This is where insulin resistance happens, when your cells aren't responding well to that extra insulin, And this can lead to inflammation, which is the puffiness that you may be experiencing, or the bloating, or the swollen body parts and metabolic changes. And then the inflammation worsens the insulin resistance and contributes to type 2 diabetes. Over time, insulin resistance, high blood sugar, and the inflammation can lead to that type 2 diabetes. So to recap, the correlation is insulin resistance happens when your pancreas overworks itself by creating more insulin to balance the rising blood sugar, and then it gets to a point that it no longer can continue to work overtime. So your pancreas can then experience increased strain, and then the insulin production becomes less effective over time, potentially causing that type 2 diabetes, which brings on a whole additional realm of health problems. So back to what we were saying in the beginning, so many people are unknowingly damaging their body in tremendous amounts daily by not being aware of the harm and chaos they're causing by simply ordering a venti vanilla latte or eating that frozen processed meal because they are short on time. Not to mention those super sugary pumpkin spice, whatever seasonal drinks from Dunkin' Donuts. I can't remember what the drink is exactly. I remember last fall looking into the ingredients of it, and we're talking 124 grams of sugar in one drink. Remember, it is 25 grams recommended for the day of sugar for a female and 37.5 for a male. Imagine the chaos your body is experiencing when you are drinking something like that. Or eating that pie, whatever it is that you're consuming, I just want you to think about it and just have awareness to what we are doing. And it adds up over time. We become overweight, inflamed, worse, we can potentially creating disease in our bodies, and we also lose confidence. And then we tell ourselves, okay, well, I can just go on a crash diet and it will all come right back off. And sometimes people will turn to short-term fitness goals to do just that. They'll see somebody else's body transformation, or they read somewhere on the internet that running will make you skinny. And I say this to say, if you're planning or wanting to start working out or start running for an aesthetic reason, you may not be running or working out for the right reasons. And it may be time for you to dig deeper on the many other benefits and reasons why we should be getting healthier. Now, let me follow that statement with, I don't actually believe that there is wrong reasons in the pursuit to getting healthier, even if the site may be a little narrow in the why we are doing this. If you're getting healthier, you're getting healthier. And sure, some people might start the pursuit to alter their aesthetic appearance, but they started, and that is more than some will ever do. And with that being said, regardless of the start reason, it will usually just grow and develop as the journey proceeds. The biggest thing is just starting in the first place. So again, regardless of the reason, you're already in the right, and lucky you, the benefits of transformation and personal growth that will happen in addition to your reason are just going to be the unexpected massive icing on the cake, sugar-free cake. And even if it's not a sustainable reason, every time you are trying is one day closer to exposing yourself to more information and to carrying out goals with longevity. And if you channel deeper reason and clarity, then the chances of you being healthier for the long run are much greater, which is why I wanted to start the episode with that bit on insulin resistance. Now I will leave the rest to industry experts that we will have on the show in the future. They can fill you in on how fast food, the frozen food in your fridge, are all potentially wreaking havoc on your body as well. But I'm going to say this again and again. Awareness is everything. We talked about exposure in earlier episodes. And one thing you can do right now to gain more exposure to more information is begin to follow healthier accounts on social media or on podcasts. And these aren't plugs. I don't know these people yet personally. Some of them are dream guests. But here are some of my favorite accounts to follow in regards to health. And I wanted to leave this for you just in case you don't know where to get started in the first place. I'm going to give you 7 different accounts. Follow them if you would like. The first one is going to be BioLane. He's actually a Tampa local. If you don't know, I have a home in Tampa. One of the things I love about his account is he is real and raw with exposing misinformation in the health industry. The next one is going to be Dr. James Denick. He has a lot of really good health tips, as well as Aggie. She is really into biohacking for women. That is her brand. Then there's Dr. Gabrielle Lyon. She speaks on the importance of strength training and how we don't have an obesity epidemic. We have a muscle epidemic. And a lot of our problems can be solved with increasing our muscle mass. Then there's Organic Olivia, who is a herbalist and has a ton of information on vitamins and supplements that you can take that will help increase your health. Gary Brecka, he's a top wellness thought leader. And then Shervin, he is the owner of Symbiotica. All tons of good information. I'll include these recommendations in the show notes. But health and fitness should be a lifestyle for all of us. It's not a seasonal goal. It's a lifetime goal that we continue to expand on, improve on, and to sustain. And the more we put information in front of us, the more likely we are going to continue to sustain it. Health is everything. Health is energy. If we want to show up well in business, for our family, for our other life goals, it starts with moving and taking care of our bodies. And if you're listening to this, and you know you have room for improvement, for consistency, or just starting and doing better in general, I want you to know it's never too late. Having a growth mindset and not a fixed mindset that I am just the way that I am, or I'm too old for this, or I'm too big for that, or I can't do this, or my back, or my whatever it is. Don't make excuses. You can heal your back through exercise a lot of the times. Again, information exposure is everything. And there are men and women in gyms that I attend that are 60 to 70 years plus lifting weights for the first time, elderly running marathons. It's up to you to get started. And I can only imagine how intimidating it may feel with a lifetime of not taking action in this direction. But muscle mass, flexibility equals longevity. If you want more life, if you want more time with your grandkids, this is what you can control. It is not too late, and it doesn't matter where you are at in the process. What matters and defines you are the choices you make today. I think Andy Frisella says this quote, but who you are right now, this second, is a product of who you were, not who you are. Who you are today determines who you will become. In many ways, we can have a fixed mindset without realizing it. An example of that is I truly believed I was not a runner. I would never be a runner. I was not an athlete. I would never be an athlete. And it wasn't until my 30s that I shifted that belief. And I want to share with you my path in case there's anyone that it could potentially help that may be listening. I've been very guilty in my lifetime of putting fitness and health on the back burner. Fitness wasn't something that was modeled for me. Neither was health really in my childhood. And in fact, the one person that I can recall when I was growing up that was in the fitness industry, she was looked at almost as an anomaly. I remember that she moved to LA right after she had graduated high school, and she was on fitness magazines and she was in bikinis. And although we admired her for doing her thing and for her success, the muscles and the strength wasn't my perception and my takeaway from what she was doing. It was almost viewed as if she was over-sexualizing herself and doing something extremely out of the ordinary that not many could do. Now, this is the 90s. Things are very different now. But this was my perception of the fitness industry as a young child due to my exposure. No one taught me the importance of strength training. No one taught me muscle mass for long-term health. No one taught me that flexibility is longevity. Luckily, fun fact, at the age of 2 years old, all the way through graduating high school, I was in competitive baton twirling. So moving my body, stretching and sweating in our practice warehouse 4 to 6 days a week, that was my workout. But strength training wasn't ever in the conversation. And while some kids had natural abilities for gymnastics, I wish someone would have had me lifting weights as a kid so I could have built my upper body strength so I could be flipping my body around the way that some of my competitors were. This lack of awareness to the importance of strength training led to my early adulthood. And it wasn't until I was 24 that I started lifting weights at all. But at the time, it was all about the bikini competitions, the calendar, magazine covers for my modeling days, or it was a sporadic workout for a trip that was coming or a photo shoot, and then back to unhealthy patterns. Just as I described in the beginning of this episode, and this continued until I was 31 when I finally started taking strength training seriously and more consistently due to me learning more information, thankfully, from everything that is out there on the internet now. But 3 decades of inconsistency due to my exposure, but also my willingness to process and seek new information. I don't want to be a victim. There are plenty of people that also had no exposure and still found their way to health and fitness. But for me, it wasn't a natural urgency to process and to learn fully the importance. And so I didn't expose myself to environments to learn, which is why I want to make this podcast today for anyone that is in a similar circumstance. My reasons now for wanting to be healthier and to be stronger now that I have more awareness. One, I want to live as long as possible. I'm trying to live to be 138. Might think I'm crazy, but I'm trying to live a super long life. And I think that it's going to be possible for our future generations to come with how much more we take care of ourselves with the knowledge that we have. And I want kids. I'm 34. I want to be able to meet my grandkids. Probably not going to have kids for another couple years. So I got to stay alive so I can meet them. You know what I mean? Number two, I want to prove to myself discipline and consistency day after day. This helps in all other areas of life. Number three, I want to be able to inspire and help others do the same, which means less suffering and less heartache for all if we're all being healthier. Number four, I want to show my future kids and my current circle through my actions, not my words, my discipline, which creates and sustains trust. Number five, I want to be strong. I want to be prepared. I want to be helpful. And number six, you can make fun of me. I don't care. I used to be totally okay with the knowing of if we had a zombie apocalypse, I would be a goner. I just knew it. I knew it in my heart. I knew it in my soul. But now I know I can outrun them. Now I want to be strong enough to fight them. And I want to be around to be helpful to the survivors and share my mind and my skill sets if we have to unite and rebuild the freaking world. I think about this kind of stuff. You never know what's going to happen in the world. Hopefully not a zombie apocalypse. But if it happens, I don't want to be a goner anymore. Wherever your fitness level is now, you can improve. You can start. It's all in the mind and what you believe. Last May, I was invited to do a marathon with friends. I had a lifetime history of not being a fan of running, not being good at it. And in fact, I couldn't even make it a full song or a full mile without feeling like I was dying, having a cramp. And it just wasn't my thing. And I declared that, I think in high school, I decided, maybe even middle school, that this was not my thing. I actually remember the day that I realized that I was not fast. And that's a story for another day. I'm not going to go into those details, but running was just not for me. My cardiovascular fitness was not it. And I said no to the opportunity to do this marathon with my friends. And I had a good excuse too. It was the same weekend as my best friend's bachelorette party. So no, can't do it. It's not happening. It's already written in the stars. I have to be at this bachelorette party. However, after this invite, after I had already said no, I kept thinking about it. And it was just one of those voices that just don't really go away. And those are the voices that you really got to listen to, is if something keeps repeating, you got to pay attention to it. And the voice was saying how afraid I was of doing this and how brave the people that were doing it are. I remember thinking to myself, how far off and unrealistic is it for me to have even considered to potentially do a marathon? I'm Kristen Slow Nikki. That's what they used to call me growing up. They would elongate the slow in my last name. And so for me to even consider this was laughable. It was terrifying. And then I thought about, who am I today? Who do I want to become? I'm a leader. I preach like there's no tomorrow to run towards your fears. Yet the thing that is most scary to me right now, the hard thing that is being presented right in front of me, I'm giving it an immediate hard no because I'm not good at it. That goes completely against every single thing that I preach. Who would I be if I didn't actually go for this hard, scary thing? So then I started doing some research. I Googled, how long is a marathon? I Googled the marathons around. Funny, the first marathon I found was Big Sur, which is one of the marathons with the most incline, but I was all about the views. I was like, oh, this would be a pretty one. Really glad I didn't go with that one. I ended up with a very flat one. But I found one in Long Beach, California. It was the weekend after my friends were doing theirs, and I signed up for it. I managed to convince one of my best friends to do it with me, so I wasn't doing it alone. And then from there, completely scared, having no idea what I was doing, I began to learn everything that I could. Expose myself to as much information that I could find, follow all the new accounts that I could find, study the forms and the videos and the stretches. I didn't have a running coach. I didn't even know where you could find one. And I prioritized training all summer. And then October 15th, 6 months later, I ran my first marathon. It wasn't pretty. It was actually a little traumatizing. And it was one of the hardest things I ever did. Another story for another day. But I started from nothing at 34 years old, not being able to run a full mile. On October 15th, I completed 26.2. I made it happen. And I don't say this to brag. I say this to inspire you because literally, if I can do this, you can do this. And I still am slow, Nikki. I ain't fast, Nikki, yet. We're trying to get there. But if I can put myself out there and continuously try to improve in one of the hardest, scariest situations, I promise you, you can do this also. So health and fitness was not in my stratosphere when I was growing up, but now it's a necessity for me. And that's simply because I decided to have a growth mindset and shift from that fixed. When I have kids, they'll be going to the gym with me. I want them to see firsthand that mommy takes care of herself, that going to the gym is something to be excited about, something normal, not something to resist. And they'll see the discipline and consistency firsthand through my actions, not my words. Do as I say, not as I do. This is a line from Gen X that I heard way too often as a child, but it is actions that children will follow, not words. Or even worse, I've seen or been around parents that have made children feel responsible for being the reason they aren't taking care of themselves. Birthing you did this to my body. I'm too busy. I'm too exhausted. I got to take care of you guys. I got to do this. I got to do that. I got to take you to practice. When am I going to do this? When do I have time for me? I'm too busy doing everything for you. Ed Milet has a saying, and it is the most selfish thing that you can do as a parent is to not fulfill your dreams. And I couldn't agree with that more. To disregard your dreams, to disregard your health, to disregard self is one of the most harmful things a parent can unintentionally do to a child. And I'm not judging. I can't reiterate this enough that I truly believe for the most part that we all behave in ways based off of the tools in which we have been exposed to. And I'm not a parent, so I'm going to tread lightly. But if you are a parent and hearing this and you're in the category of neglecting self, this isn't meant to begin a shame cycle that gets us nowhere, but it's meant to bring you a different perspective on taking action today. It's very easy to come up with justifications of why we aren't taking care of ourselves. But the truth is we can't take care of others the best that we possibly can if we don't take care of ourselves first. So small steps, more exposure, following more positive accounts, listening to positive self-development content, setting schedules, creating time to go for walks, moving your body, hiring a trainer if you can, or signing up for apps like ClassPass, where you can find group training classes to help you move to being healthier. Wake up earlier, do home workouts if you have to, if you don't have childcare, you have to always prioritize you. If you want to actually take the best care and show up the best for your kids, for your family, it starts with showing up for yourself first. Show up for yourself, prioritize yourself. And if you aren't a parent, if you're an aunt or an uncle or your friends have kids, you can be the person that role models that positive behavior because this helps contribute to more positive exposure in a healthier world that we are all building together for future generations to come. Now let's talk about group classes. I just mentioned ClassPass a few seconds ago, so I want to dive more into this because it's been very helpful for me into my fitness journey. Also, this isn't a plug. It's just an app that I use that I really like. You may already be thriving in group settings, group classes. If you are, bravo for you. You are ahead of most. But for me, group classes were always very intimidating. So I want to take a second to speak to the people that might be in the same boat. But I always felt like, how can I go into a new workout class with people who go every single day and their experience when I'm a brand new beginner and I don't know how to do this workout. I've never done it. I'm intimidated. I don't want to do this. Or after I did start attending classes, and if I didn't attend for a long period of time, maybe I was on vacation, whatever the case may be, I wouldn't want to go because I would be embarrassed that I might not be as strong or as fast as the last time I attended. No one cares, and you will be amazed at how quickly you pick back up for the first time. The body does incredible things when we give it the opportunity to, and we all have to start or restart somewhere. And what was surprising to me, once I finally built up the courage to go to the class, it would only be about 3 to 4 weeks of consistency with any new class. Then I would all of a sudden start feeling like a pro or an OG. Confidence just boosts and beams when you are consistent. My first fitness class that I ever went to that I can recall was in 2013 in Las Vegas. It was a heated yoga class. I had never done yoga. I was very intimidated by what I saw online, But I sat my butt down in the back of the class and I tried and I kept trying. And then before you knew it, I was greeting everyone in the class, sitting in the front so I could see my form better in the mirror. And I was inviting anyone and everyone to come with me. Same thing with the Pilates studio in Tampa. I believe in 2021 is when I started attending. I had never done Pilates in my life, but a new studio had opened up and I had heard great reviews, so I went. Next thing you know, I was there 6 times a week and the studio was asking me as a friend to come film promos with them in exchange for sessions as a favor because they knew they could trust my form due to my consistency. What an ego boost from zero to rock star in no time, it felt like. Another example, this was actually only last year. A place in Tampa opened up called Glute Station, and it was a bunch of stations with a bunch of weight machines I had never used. And a friend invited me, and for almost a month, I delayed going because even though I had been doing strength training for years at that point in different gyms with different programs, I was intimidated. I saw in videos there was a bunch of machines I had never used before, and in my head, I needed to get stronger or learn the machines before I could attend. Finally, I made a decision. I built up the courage and I attended my first class and it was horrible. I was shaking. I was almost crying. It was one of the hardest classes of my entire life. Still to this day, every time I go to Glute Station, I am so sore. And the trainers probably thought I was so dramatic. I remember one of them saying, oh boy, when they saw where my starting line was. 3 to 4 weeks later, I was smiling. I was asking the trainers for more weights. And I felt like an OG pro, not to mention I formed great relationships with the trainers because they love consistency. All it takes is showing up before you're ready and discipline to be consistent. Signing up for classes ahead of time helps discipline. It goes back to our previous episodes of planning ahead. When you plan your workout classes ahead, you don't even need to think about anything. You just show up. It's part of the day. And if you struggle to work out early, schedule them early so there's no negotiation. It's just done. And I say that from a place where I can admit when I'm following my own workout plans from online trainers and doing the programs at my local gym, sometimes I negotiate with my schedule and I'll find myself at the gym at 8 p.m. versus 8 a.m. and it's not the vibe. The later you go, the higher your resting heart rate will be when you go to sleep, which means the lower quality of sleep you'll receive, which is not great for your recovery, for your mindset, your health, anything. So if you can, go early. And I say this from a place of this is something that I am too deep in the work of trying to conquer and do myself consistently as well. Main point, sign up for the class, even if you're intimidated. And I'm just going to say this now, so maybe it'll move me and push me in this direction. But the workout that I am currently intimidated by is boxing. So many boxing studios are popping up everywhere and I love to add variety and I know it's time to bite the bullet and I'll excel in no time, but it all just starts with giving it a shot, even when you aren't ready, even when you know you will suck. And something that will help when going to a new class, by the way, is talk to the trainer before the class. Ask them to watch your form, ask them to guide you, help you. And trust me, this goes a long way. I've never been to a class that I've done this, that the trainer didn't go over and beyond for me. And then guess what? On top of learning new skills, building confidence, I gain friends too and new communities. But the ClassPass app, this makes it really affordable, easy, and also easy to find classes in your area, and it locks you in. And then it's in the books, it's done. It's also great for when you are traveling for you to find classes in the area. But 10 out of 10 when setting healthy goals, this is so helpful to add community by going to these classes intermixed with social accountability. It also creates consistency, fun, and it's going to help with goal longevity. We have a clear understanding that we don't want to set goals for the short term. Now let's talk really quickly about long-term metric goals. So I'll be completely honest, for both 75 hard, which I completed January through March of 2023, and then the marathon, which was May through October of 2023. Both of these massive goals were actually just a contract within self to see if I actually could. I remember in 2022, the year before, I had a quote that was on the background of my phone. And the quote was, "You will never know if you can complete the 12-week program unless you put your shoes on and you complete the 12-week program." And the reason why I had this quote on the background of my phone is because up to that point, I had been very inconsistent with all of my short-term goals in health and fitness. Like I said before, I would do a 6-week stint where I would work out really hard and strength train. And then I would be all of a sudden ripped back when I was in my really early 20s and it was easy like that. And then I would take the rest of the year off and it was fine until it was time to do it again. And so in 2022, I came across a 12-week program, which at the time seemed really, really long for me. It was through a strength training app called Sweat, which I also recommend. I've been using this app since maybe 2014 when it was originally just an ebook. And it's evolved so much. It has some of the top fitness influencers that are now a part of it. But the need to have that quote on the background of my phone, that should tell you a lot about how my consistency was up to 2022. So when it came to 75 Hard in 2023, it wasn't about weight loss. It wasn't about getting fit. In my head, if either of those things happened, it would have been a bonus. But it was to test myself in a way that I had never been tested, to see if I could actually hold myself accountable, to be disciplined, and truly stick to doing what I said I was going to do. Was I truly a woman of my word? And 75 Hard was the first really big test of all time when it came to my discipline that I feel like I actually passed with flying colors. And what I can say from that experience, if you are considering doing this, create accountability. And there's a couple ways that you can do this. Number one, you can get your family involved. This is actually a Don Gomez tactic, but you can have, let's say your daughter, for example, you guys create a poster board together. It has the 75 hard metrics on it, that there's 75 check boxes, and she's the one that has to check it off every day once you tell her that it's complete. And now your daughter or your son or whoever it is, they, or your wife or your husband, they are the one that is holding you accountable. And then you can create reward systems for them if you complete the 75 hard. So they're going to be holding you to it and you're not going to want to let them down. So that is one way that you can do it. Another way is you can have group chats. You can do it with friends. But what I'll warn you is when I did 75 hard, I had about 20 people in my group chat that signed up on January 2nd, 2023. By January 15th, there's maybe 10 people still going. And by the end of it, only two of us completed it. So this can be discouraging to some. It can also be a justification to others where they're like, well, this person didn't finish, so I'm just not going to finish it either. It just kind of depends on where you're at in life. If you're going to allow that justification to happen, or if you're going to allow something like that to discourage you, I don't even believe in discouragement. I think that's also a bullshit mindset as well. But the third thing, this is what really helped me, is social media. I made the decision on the first day that I was going to share with social media my journey in hopes to maybe inspire one person that they could potentially do this and improve their health and discipline as well. And every day I posted the flyer saying when I completed it and tiny little clip of how the day went and what I encountered. And what I will say is I know for sure that accountability helped push me through some of the hardest times. I can think of two specific times. One of them, I was so tired and I still had 10 pages left to read. My eyes felt like they were shutting. And I remember telling myself, I have to do this. I have to get the flyer out. It's 11:55. Need to finish it up. I got to do this. And so I did, because I needed to get the flyer out. I didn't want to let everybody know that I had failed. And the second time is in February. So about halfway through the 75 hard experience, I had a influencer trip that I attended. And during the day, I think it was like 8 a.m., we were in heels and attending a seminar all day, followed by photo shoots and eating. And then there was a party and everybody was drinking and then they were partying. But while everybody was drinking, I had to leave early and I was outside doing my outdoor 45-minute workout, walking laps around the hotel pool of Mexico because I had to stay under the light because it's Mexico. It can kind of be unsafe sometimes. So I had to be careful. And I was just doing laps until the 45-minute timer went off because it was the only time of the day that I could do it. And I was exhausted. I had done the indoor workout in the morning at the hotel gym. I had sat in the conference all day and then I had done the nighttime activities. And then to end it with that, I just remember before leaving my room to go walk the laps, I remember almost in tears thinking to myself, I don't want to do this. I can't do it. I can't do it. And then I did it anyways. And that ended up being one of the core memories of feeling like, holy cow, I really am a woman of my word. I really can stick to doing the things that I say I'm going to do. And they say that it takes 90 days to build a habit. So I was really hoping when the 75 days ended that I would be a changed woman and I wouldn't fall back into old patterns. But I'll be honest with you, when 75 hard ended, I had two back-to-back work trips with two different companies and I was ready to celebrate. I had been on personal lockdown for 75 days. And so I was ready for a drink and I'm not even really a big drinker. I was ready to hang. So it finished in March. And so the full month of April when I was traveling, I celebrated. And guess what? I gained the 10 pounds that I had lost right back in the month of April. But what I didn't lose was that confidence that I could stick to doing what I said I was going to do. And that led me to having the self-belief that there was a possibility of doing this marathon and even entertaining the idea. If I decided I wanted to do the marathon and if I committed to it, I could probably fulfill it and complete it. And that went from completing 75 hard, I didn't know it then, was the warm up to the marathon and the beginning of the newfound confidence that I truly can do anything that I want to do. So 75 days didn't change me, but did the marathon change me? Because marathon, training for a marathon is well over 90 days. And I really did believe that if I signed up for a marathon, that it would completely change the game for my consistency. And I'm sure it made absolute light years and strides for who I am today. However, after the marathon, what I didn't account for is signing up for my first workout class about a week after the marathon. So I didn't do that. And I fell off the wagon a little bit. And I'll tell you why. I didn't realize that when you run a marathon, your body is sore in ways that you cannot imagine. I walked like a penguin or a zombie, whatever you want to call me, for 7 days straight. My legs didn't bend in the ways that they normally bend. I was sitting down with my legs fully straight. I could barely walk. Then came Thanksgiving, and then it was a trip to Costa Rica, and then it was straight to Mexico for my best friend's wedding, and then it was Christmas, and then another best friend's birthday in Miami, followed by New Year's Eve. Holidays became exactly what I preach for it not to be, holla months, and I was off my groove. From the marathon, I went straight into holla months, but then here's what was different. I noticed a heck of a lot sooner. It wasn't 6 months later, it wasn't years later. I noticed that I wasn't being my best self. I noticed that I wasn't showing up as the person that I wanted to be. I realized, and so I scheduled the class and I got back up. So my point in sharing that is that we will have times that we do get out of our groove, and with each day gone, we lose momentum and we may even lose confidence in going back to that class. The class you've been to 100 times all of a sudden feels intimidating again. But muscle memory is going to surprise you, and you aren't starting from ground zero. You're starting from experience. You pick back up. And if you're listening to this right now and you're in one of those seasons, maybe it's been for a few days, a few months, or maybe a few years, or maybe just you haven't ever started. My challenge to you is to schedule a class or schedule the walk with yourself or a friend right now. Apply, apply, apply. Remember, we're not here to just consume. We're going to take action. And if you're like me, where it's not yet 1,000,000% habit to get through every season, my advice to you is to just stack these goals. Do something like 75 hard, followed by the next phase of 75 hard, which is called phase one. It's an additional 30 to 45 days, I believe. Then phase two and so on. Or maybe you want to run your first 5K, half marathon, full marathon. Trust me, again, if I can do it, you can do it. But whatever it is, stack the goals, plan ahead, plan your year, and have the first workout after the big goal lands booked right after. Book the wins and celebrate the wins as you continue your journey. Don't pause the journey and then never stop celebrating. That's how we end up back to the basics. And to wrap this episode, I want to end with, there are ways that we can pursue healthier habits and healthy hits of dopamine on this journey to living a healthier life by hacking our dopamine, by switching our bad habits with good habits. You are pursuing dopamine in negative ways when you're scrolling Postmates, Uber Eats, DoorDash, whatever it is, or when you are trying to choose whichever chain restaurant that you're going to go to because you don't feel like cooking that night, that's pursuing unhealthy hits of dopamine. But you can scroll on Pinterest, pursue healthier hits by learning more information, learning new recipes, creating a healthier grocery list, make healthier food purchases, switch your mindset to having a reward system for not even bringing the unhealthy foods into your home. I don't even go down the processed food aisles. This is cancer breeding grounds and inflammation breeding grounds. You want to get swollen, you want to get bloated, you want to get eventually sick, then go down these aisles. Otherwise, avoid them. And if the frozen food aisles are your go-to, you can pursue healthy doses of dopamine by pursuing new recipes and exposing yourself to new things. Take the time to make a new grocery list, follow new healthy accounts, go to Pinterest, learn the new things. Just make sure you are checking the sources of who you are listening to when getting this new information. Recommendations I gave you earlier of people to follow, I believe is a great start. But remember, nothing tastes as good as healthy feels, and your level of health will determine your level of life. Tangibles and takeaways as we finish this episode. Follow the accounts that I shared. Check your mindset. Are you in a growth mindset or a fixed mindset? Find your personal reasons for being healthier. Set long-term goals and then goals to stack on top of those goals. When the first goal finishes, plan ahead, create accountability, expose yourself to new information always, hack your dopamine for healthier habits, and create a belief system for unstoppable consistency. That is a wrap, my friends. Thank you so much for showing up with us today. If you enjoyed this episode and know anyone that would benefit from it as well, please share it. And if you have not already, please hit the follow button and leave a review. We are not running ads right now, and it helps us in more ways than I can even explain. Until next time, my name is Kristen Slonicki, and this is the Dopamine Pursuit Podcast.